back to the chapter we read together, 1 Chronicles 22, and to the end of verse 5, the statement, David prepared abundantly before his death. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5, David prepared abundantly before his death. This week in the news, there has been many reports of tragic death. And recently in our part of Canada, we had a school principal very mysteriously murdered in her own home. Here in Markham, you've had a very public display of grief at the loss of a police officer. And on our roads, day and daily, there are ongoing victims who are taken by death. And then, of course, there's that which grieves every Canadian, and that is our young soldiers that are serving halfway around the world in Afghanistan. Can you imagine driving a Humvee along the hillsides of Afghanistan to be met by the power of the explosives that turn that wannabe tank into mere shrapnel? And we have these young men coming home in caskets to be grieved over their families and friends. There was a young soldier in Aldergrove, just 10 miles from our church in Cloverdale, who was killed just like that in Afghanistan. We have to face the issue that every day all around us, we face death. It is one of the absolute certainties of life. But how can we define death? Well, we could try it in many ways, and I'm sure we could build a whole tomb of theology around it. But one word sums up a definition of death, and that word is separation. Death is the great divider. It separates us from our nearest and our dearest. It is a great gulf of tragic proportions, as it means that those that remain alive can never again reach out and join in friendship or companionship. Death is separation from all physical life. The things that have known us, the people have known us, will know us no more. Death is also separation from body and soul. The body will be laid in the earth. It will return to the dust. But your soul will live on in eternity. That can never, ever die. It is immortal. It is indestructible. And of course, death for the ungodly, for the person who has never come to faith in the Lord Jesus, never been washed in the blood of Calvary, death is separation from God. It means that the Lord Jesus will one day point right at you and say, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you." The thing that we want to learn today from David, and we learn it very well from David, is that it is necessary to prepare for death. Who can argue with this statement? And yet there is that natural reluctance to do so. People will prepare for all manner of events. You insure your car, you insure your home, you prepare for every other event in life. But to prepare for your death, to prepare for that day when you must stand before God, It's something that you, and I suppose all, are in many ways reluctant to grapple with and to really deal with. And I beg with you from this pulpit here this morning that you take this time in God's house. You have come this morning from your home. You have come to sing from the hymnal and to hear from the Bible of truth. Consider the day of your death to prepare for it. Now, preparation for death is necessary because it is inevitable. Absolutely inevitable. Here was David, back here in 1 Chronicles 22:5. He had many plans. He had this dream of building a temple. But God said, no, you're not going to build it, David. Your days are numbered. They're very short. And your son is going to build the temple that you're speaking of. And David had to face the inevitable that his days were few on earth. And death comes to all, old and young, rich and poor, and we may try to avoid it in many ways, but it will come. The ratio of victims is 1 in 1. Whether it is that soldier on routine patrol, or whether it is as you drive down the freeway, or even in your bed asleep, death will come. None can escape the sentence of death. Indeed, as science knows, our very DNA is programmed that our time is running out. The Lord has allotted 70 years, and even with the help of science, we don't get a lot of time beyond. Are you ready? What are you doing to prepare to face the inevitable? We read of David here that he prepared abundantly before his death. What are you doing to prepare? Or have you drawn a blank? Have you just erased this from your mind and said, well, sometime, somehow, but not now? God guarantees you nothing as to more time. But the gospel does make it possible for you to prepare. And that's my second argument with you this morning. Not only is preparation for death inevitable, but it is possible for a degenerating, dying, mortal man to do something about the salvation of his own soul. And of course, if there was no hope, if there was no possibility of making preparation, then we would have no message. We would have no good news in the gospel. But God has created us as moral creatures which are responsible for our souls. But He has also given us a glorious hope. A hope that we can prepare and be sure of eternal life. Preparation for death is possible because of what I mentioned last week, and I unashamedly mention it again today. It is possible to prepare for the day of your death because of revelation. God in His mercy has given us a book. He has given us a map. He has given us His Word, that we're not left in the dark, in the great questions. How is it possible for me to prepare for the day of my death? He has given us the answers. Let me turn you in this book to John 17 and verse 3. We'll look at some of these key texts that I trust will throw light on what you must know and do. John 17:3. John's Gospel, chapter 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And there you have the formula. Every component of what you need, if you're asking the question, how can I prepare? You need to know the true God. And you need to know His Son, Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. Now, another great text, so that you know that you're not left in the dark, is 1 John chapter 5. And verse 13. And this is the difference between you saying, well, I'm not going to listen to a preacher. I need to know for myself. I'm not asking you today to listen to the words of man. In fact, I would say far forbid that at all. You must come to this map, this revelation of God in His goodness to give you His Word, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We're not left in the dark. We're not left searching for the great questions as the Greek philosophers did for centuries and have done for millennia. No, we have God's Word who has answered for us the very issue before us. Human reason cannot answer this, but we need to go to the life-giving words right here in God's book. The next thing you need to know to make preparation for death, preparation for death is possible through redemption. And just as David made abundant preparation for the building of the temple, and you'll read there that he gathered the wood, he gathered the gold, he gathered the nails, he gathered the iron, and he prepared the masons and all that was going to be done. I want to tell you about another David who prepared abundantly through his death to prepare salvation for your soul. Would you turn with me to John's Gospel again, to chapter 10 and the verse 10. John 10 and verse 10. This is the chapter of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and so on. But you'll notice in this verse, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now let's think of that abundant life which our Lord Jesus has provided and prepared for us. He is the infinite God in human form. For 33 years on earth, He was weaving and earning and working for us. And He went to the cross and He offered to His Father a sacrifice as payment for sin. an infinite sacrifice. Indeed, the word abundant is the word superabundant. You cannot estimate the extent of its merit. And through the power of His death, our Lord Jesus has purchased, provided redemption for you, for your salvation. And He bore the curse so that for you there is no more sting of death. You know that verse in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The word sting in 1 Corinthians 15 alludes to the sting of a scorpion. Now, there are scorpions in North America, but I am told that scorpions in the Middle East outnumber, outweigh, outsting the little scorpions we have in this country. And they are filled with poison. And they can even kill. And stung once by a scorpion, I read of one, actually was camping in Texas, and got into his bed without checking the sheets, and inside the bed was a scorpion which stung him. You can bet your life from then on, every time he went to get into that camp bed, he checked those sheets. He did not want a second repeat sting. And Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? It's gone. For the believer, the Christian, it's gone. The very thing we dread, the very thing that is horror to the unsaved and unconverted, and that's to you if you're not a Christian, the very thing that is the worst imaginable possible thought of your heart, to face the sting of death, our Lord Jesus became a curse on the cross. And He has removed the sting. He has destroyed the power of death. And so that for the Christian it is no longer a sting, but it is sleep. We sleep in Jesus. And we will learn this evening of the blessed who die in the Lord, and we'll talk about heaven's view of death. But preparation for death is possible because our Lord Jesus has destroyed on the cross the power of death for His people. If you're a Christian, you're saved. There is no more death. The second death is not there. Yes, there is the degeneration of this body, and there's going to be a resurrection day when we will be raised again and be like Christ and with Christ. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, and you should meet death soon, suddenly, you are flung into the horror of a death that is torment for all eternity. And you've sat here in this church and being exhorted to prepare by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus. Now the question is not, is your preparation enough? The question is Christ's death on the cross enough? Did He satisfy the law of God enough? Did He fully turn away God's wrath on that cross? Or is there still some remainder of wrath left for you?
my Bible, and I have to come back to my Bible. It's the only word. It's the only way that I can answer these things. My Bible tells me, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that believe, that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. And that's the work of the cross. And so for the believer, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thirdly, preparation for death is necessary because it is commanded. It's commanded. In the Bible, we have different kinds of exhortations. We have invitations. We have promises. We have warnings. And we have commands. And in the gospel, you have all four of these forms of exhortation used. And the Lord often works gently at first. And He comes softly with the glorious news that you're invited into the kingdom. That you are a sinner invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then those who are heedless, God ramps up that invitation to a warning. And He comes to you as Noah did in his day, and He warns of the wrath to come. Perhaps I am a Noah. Perhaps I am that note of warning, and you have been avoiding the still small voice in your soul for so long, and you've avoided the invitation. But today is a warning. But also there comes the command. And it's the command of a king. It's not, may I, shall I? It is God's final word. And there is no other way by which God will judge or determine men's fate. What think ye of Christ? Have you believed in His Son? Those who refuse, those who run from that command, will die and perish. Those who believe will be saved. And all are commanded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a command. Have you obeyed? Or are you in heart stubbornly refusing? What a dangerous, empty position to be in. Fourthly, I would exhort you to prepare for the day of death because of the eternal rewards. Paul said that for him to die is gain. And to a believer, death is great gain. A saint can tell, he cannot tell his losses for, I'm sorry, he can tell his losses for Christ here on earth, but he cannot tell His eternal gain in glory. For to me, to die is gain. And at death, the saints will gain a royal, magnificent feast. How come we shall receive all these rewards and inheritances? How come we will have all of this gain? Because of the Father's bestowment. Because of the Son's purchase by His own blood, and because of the Holy Spirit's work of faith and repentance in your heart. That's how we receive these great benefits and blessings. Now to feel to join the happy band who escape the sting of death and enjoy the rewards of eternal life is to feel at every score. It's the worst part of folly. And it flies in the face of wisdom. It's to show a heart that is obstinate and hardened. It's to feel to enter into the gospel by faith And it's to suffer the eternal flames of hell. I read of a man called Edward Sweeney who lived in New York. And he lived in an apartment tenement building. And there was a fire that broke out in that building. And when he smelled the smoke, he ran for the first door that he could find. And so he ran to the door, opened it, slammed it behind him, thinking that he would secure himself from the smoke and the fire, only to discover that he was in a closet. Because he had been unsuspecting and heedless, he just ran to the first door and closed it upon himself. And that's how it will be on that day when many will flee for their souls and they will run and they will find that they have taken the wrong door and they are closed out and that they are hopeless. The Bible sets before you today the right way, God's way, the way of His Son, the way of the cross, the way of hope. Does it make any difference? There was a young soldier who was injured on the battlefield. The army surgeon said to him, "Lad, we're going to have to amputate. We're going to have to put you under, and the chances of you coming through this is 1 in 100. They went through with the surgery and he made it. And afterwards he was asked, "What were you thinking as you went under the knife?" Well, this lad was a Christian. He knew the Lord and he said, "I knew that it was all right. I knew whichever side I came out, there would be a welcome for me. If I came back, my mother would be there. And if I went on, the Lord Jesus would be there." There's some here today and you don't have that assurance. If you were to face death today, you couldn't be sure. And that's why you need to today, now, prepare abundantly for the day of your death. And praise God that abundant work has been done at the cross. The work is done. You come and say, "Lord Jesus, that's enough for me. Take me, save me, wash me in the blood. I'm trusting and believing in that sacrifice for heaven." And praise God, He'll save you. He'll save you today. And He'll save you for eternity. And if you have within your heart right now a voice saying, "That's what I need to do. That's exactly what I need to do. I will be saved." Then I beg of you to come to the Lord in this service. You can pray the sinner's prayer right as you are in your seat. Or you can remain in that seat after others leave. We'll be glad to come and talk with you. Show you further from the Word of God how you can be saved and how you can be sure of eternal life. Do you want to know the way? Then come. There's many here. Be happy to help you. May the Lord be gracious and shine His loving kindness into your heart and give you this testimony that you prepared for the day of your death. Let's turn to our hymnal, please, in closing. We'll turn to